Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Amen. Brother Robert Jarvis. I'm telling you, in my opinion, Brother Robert Jarvis is, there's no greater Christian I know, preacher, Christian. I love this dear man of God. Amen. I am telling you, I got a humble spirit to be so big, that's for sure. Amen. If I was big as him, I'd be mean as the devil. Amen. I don't have no choice about it. I have to be sweet. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's a joy to be here. Thank you, man. I am telling you to preach, and I'm telling Brother Buster, I'm telling you, if I could adequately express myself like you did this afternoon, I am so unworthy to be here. So I won't go back through that. But what he said, I put all that in quotations. Amen. I'm telling you, just to be here tonight is unbelievable. Amen. I give you this report. I don't even know why I'm saying this. Some years ago, my brother was not a Christian. My brother made a profession after I got saved. My brother's older than me. He was 4 years older than me. And my brother was not a Christian. He made a profession and stayed in church, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 months, and then got out of church and naturally went to the world. I mean, really went to the world. And, of course, his God was money, and he did a good job at that, so he made a lot of money and the things that go along with money. It's kind of along my message tonight, but through the years, I prayed for him, witnessed to him, tried to talk to him. My brother was 78 years old, and I got to lead my brother to the Lord. 78 years old. And my brother was this kind of guy when he was lost. He said, Alfred, you know, you a preacher. He said, all you preachers do is dress up and ride around and eat out. That's what he told me. He'd tell me that all the time. Every time I see you dressed up, riding around and eating out. I said, well, I know how you can do that, Bubba. He said, how? I said, well, you got to get saved. And then he said, well, that's pretty day. You know what? He didn't want to talk about it. So God put him in a position, Brother Barrett, and I got to lead my brother to the Lord. And just about a few weeks ago, my brother died, and the family asked me to preach the funeral. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Robert, I could have never preached that funeral if my brother hadn't got saved. To know that my brother died without the Lord would have been more than I could stand up and preach at a funeral. I don't think I could. At least I wouldn't want to try to attempt to. So, but anyway, the place was really packed. I didn't want to get everybody in. That really don't matter. But I got to preach the gospel to all my family and all the people that my brother Eddie knew. And as far as I know, nobody got saved. I know one lady was there, said she had to hold on to the pew. She was going forward in the service. And she was a lawyer's wife. That don't make no difference. But I'm just telling you that to say this. You just got to, and I'm not talking about me, you just got to stay faithful. Amen. You know, it takes a long time to reach people that you love. They just have to see it for years and years and years. And now there's people in my family that I'm able to talk to about the Lord that when I first got saved, they wrote me off. He's gone crazy. He's got religion. And I mean, he is absolutely going crazy. But after years and years and years, now those people are calling me to preach their funerals. Amen. Amen. That's not about me. That's just about you got to stay faithful. And your testimony, I'm telling you, might take you years and years and years and years for anybody ever embraces Christ. But I'm going to tell you, if you stay with it, I'll tell you, there's a good result that will happen. Amen. So thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for, amen, being able to do that. Amen. I read the other day, I picked up this little short saying. It said, article, unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is right and fair, Christianity will perish in America. Elon Musk said that. The richest man in the world said, unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is right and fair, Christianity will perish in America. You know, if he could say that, surely we ought to say it. And we know that's the answer. Amen. I want you to take your Bible tonight. And I'm, again, Brother Buster, I'm quoting you so many times tonight. I have no idea why I'm preaching this message tonight. It's probably one of the chapters in the Bible that I really don't understand that much in the sense of how far we can get away from God and what it will cost us. And so if you turn to the book of Genesis chapter 19, Genesis chapter 19, amen. I assure you, as already been said, this is not a camp meeting message, amen, but it is a message out of the Word of God, amen. So if you would turn there in Genesis chapter number 19, then we'll back up and read a couple of verses prior to that. But you've already stood, unless everybody stands. Y'all stand every time you read the Bible? All right, so just remain seated. So you're going to be there about 3 or 4 hours. So notice there in verse number 19, chapter 1, amen. I want to thank the Lord for my wife. Thank God for my wife. My wife led me to the Lord, and I love my wife. Amen. There came two angels. Now it's down to two angels. It was three in the last chapter when they visited Abraham. Y'all know that. But now it's two angels. Amen. The Lord wouldn't even go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Bible said, and there came two angels to Sodom and Eden, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise early in the morning, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. He pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are all the men which come unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let them, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Back in chapter number 13, this is where I want to really take my text. Chapter number 13, if you look there, and then we'll read this and have prayer. Amen. The Bible said in verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. He went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, even unto the place where the tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, for they dwelled together, for their substance was great, so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. We'll stop right there a little bit further in that chapter in verse number 11, I believe it is. And the Bible said, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. I want to preach on this thought tonight, critical choices. Critical choices. So you pray the Lord will help us. Father, I pray now, Lord, you'd help us tonight. You know I'm very nervous. And Lord, I really don't find this message to be the kind of message you'd preach in such a meeting as this, especially on the last night. But I know it was impressed upon my heart. And so I pray you'd help me deliver it in power and unction and clarity. And God, our hearts would be challenged about choices that we make in life. So grant that, I pray now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. This afternoon, I got in my car and I pulled up that little thing you call Siri. I call her Susie, amen. But I pulled up Siri and I asked Siri about choices in life. So, you know, she tends to lie sometimes, but this is what she said. She said the average person makes 35,000 choices a day. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. She's lied before, but the truth of the matter is, if that be anywhere near what we do, such as the first choice, you got to get up in the morning. Second choice is whether to punch the snooze button. Amen. So the point is, here's what she's saying. She is saying we make somewhere around 35,000 choices a day. And I know some of them are minor, so to speak, or automatic, may I put it that way, just natural reflexes we make a choice. But the thought is we make thousands of choices every day. Critical choices sometimes we have to make. At our home that we have for the men, men come to our home, and I didn't come to talk about that so much other than make this point. Many of those men, matter of fact, I got a call yesterday about one of the men has been in the home three times. And every time he comes, he's a likable guy. I mean, you can be around him. You can't help but love him. And he's come and one time and left, didn't make a right choice. Come back a second time, didn't make a right choice. Come back this last time and did not make a right choice. choice. And yesterday I got a call. He overdosed. Now I don't, he's not dead, but he's a brother of pastor and his wife in this area. And yet this boy has made a critical choice not to make the right choice. One man come to me one time, his name was Joe from West Virginia, and he said, "Preacher," Joe had gotten saved. Joe was a notorious drug addict, and he come to me and he said, "Preacher, now that I've got saved, I'm going back home." I said, "Brother Joe, I think there'll be a time for you to go home, but I don't believe it's now. You just got saved. You're going right back in that environment that you came out of. Just give it some time." And he said, "No, preacher, I'm going back to where I was raised." I said, "Joe, that's where you got it, and drug had him all messed up, physically, internal organs all messed up." And I mean, a likable guy. Them guys are likable guys. And I said, "Joe, don't go back now. Just put it off a little bit." He said, "Preacher, I love y'all. I love this church, but I'm going back home." And this is what he said. This is what he said, Brother Buster. He said, "Probably if I go back, I'll die." That's what he told me. He said, "If I go back, I'll probably die." And I'm telling you, Brother Robert, he went back. I bet it wasn't a month before he was dead. We've had 12, I think the statistic last I read on my prayer list of the men that's come, we've had at least 12 men die that's come to to the ministry that we have. 12 of those have left out of the will of God, and they're dead. I'm talking about preachers. We've had preachers in our home that got and made bad choices, got messed up in life. Here's all I'm trying to say tonight, church. The choices you make, I'm going to tell you what, are going to be critical. Major choices that we make are going to be critical. As a matter of fact, it's life and death. Are you listening? I'm going to say this one more time. I ain't going to say it no more. Amen. This is not a camp meeting message. But I'm telling you, you make the wrong choice, it'll affect your life the rest of your life. I read where one of those fellows to make notorious statements. He said, "Life is a matter of choices. Every choice you make makes you." Is that not true? Amen. So man after man after man has come. 10 or 12 of those are dead tonight because they made a wrong choice. I don't think there's a sadder chapter in the Bible than Genesis 19. I'll grant you, when Lot made that choice to move to Sodom, he had no idea what it would end up being. I put it down this way. Some things are worse than death. I'll grant you, Lot, while he lived, that's the choice he made, and the things he did, he would have rather almost been dead. Are y'all listening to me? Amen and amen. It's unlikely that anyone would believe he was saved if we didn't have a Bible. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, and this is just the truth, hey, good people make bad choices. Lot is a classic example of a good man that made a bad choice because he knew God. You say, "Well, I'm saved. I can't make it." I'm telling you, the Bible is full. I'm overwhelmed at this. The Bible is full of good people that made bad choices and lived the rest of their life because of that, in a bad situation. The Bible said he was a just man in 2 Peter chapter 8. The Bible said he was a righteous man. The Bible said he had a righteous soul. So I got a Bible that, unless y'all show me something different than that, I got a Bible that said Lot was a saved man. Now I ain't sure about Demas. I'm really not sure about Demas. I hope Demas is in heaven. You say, "Well, he went with the Apostle Paul. Judas walked with Jesus." All I read about Demas, he's half forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. How would you like to preach his funeral? He died living in the world. Are you listening? So I hope Demas was saved, but I know Lot was saved. Are you listening? Are you listening? I found this to be true. Lot tried to live for both worlds. You got to make this choice. You got to make a choice between heaven and hell. And then after you make that choice, if you make a choice for heaven, then you have to make a choice between heaven and earth. Which one you going to live for? And I know what we preach, and I believe what we preach, and I preach what y'all preach. But I'm telling you, saved people can make some bad choices. Amen and amen. Noah made a choice to get drunk. What?
I mean, after all the heartache was over, after he done come through the storm, after he'd been through building an ark, amen, he got drunk. Somebody said, if you was in a building program for 120 years, you'd get drunk too. I'm just trying to tell you, people made bad choices. Looked like if he was going to mess up, he'd have messed up before the ark, amen. Are y'all listening? I picked up this little article, amen. I don't know if it goes along with the message. I'm reading it because it's a good article. Choices we make. Mom and daddy, you better make the right choice, because in Lot's case, it affected his children. You better make the right choice, amen. Hey, if you make the wrong choice, let me put it this way. As a parent, amen, our children could be influenced the wrong way if we don't make the right choice. And we see that in Genesis 19. How bad has it? I can't even comprehend how Lot must have felt. Amen. Somebody said, as moms and dads with our children, amen, if we function rightly as moms and dads, we have five times less likely. Our children are five times less likely to commit suicide. They're 32 times less likely to run away. They're 20 times less likely to have behavioral disorders. They're 14 times less likely to commit rape. They're 9 times less likely to drop out of school, 10 times less likely to abuse drugs, and 9 times less likely to end up in prison. Go back and get all those people in prison and rehab, and I'm going to tell you what, most of it will go back to their parents. How they were raised. Somebody help me. One man said, my parents taught me about many things. My daddy taught me about religion. He tells what my daddy taught me. You better pray that the stains come out of that carpet. My daddy taught me about travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the next world. Taught me about logic. He taught me about logic. Because I said so, that's why. Yeah. Anybody listening? So he said, he taught me about the circle of life. I brought you in this world, I can take you out. He taught me about the weather. Your room looks like a tornado, amen. You know, I heard, I don't know enough to say about this. I just heard him. I don't know what the speech was about. Pretty much it was a general preaching to the Academy of Graduates of Cadets. And here's what he said in his speech. My speech tonight is learn to make up your bed. You know those guys come to the home right back, they don't even know how to make up a bed. Matter of fact, when I was on active duty, you had to flip a coin and it had to bounce. Somebody help me. Them days is gone. If you can't make up a bed, you ain't going to make it far in life. Somebody, look like your room, looked like a tornado went through it. I'm meddling now, but I love it. Are you listening? Here's all I'm saying. Lot was weak in his devotions. Amen. He didn't have right desires and he made bad decisions. And as a result of that, look what happened to him and his daughters. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Critical choices. The devil tries to persuade us it doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, in the life of Lot, it had everything to do with what happened in his life. Amen. I read the footnote in Schofield's notes of about Lot, chapter 19, verse 36 on that page 30 in a Schofield Bible. If you don't mind if I read that to you, Abraham and Lot were contrasted characters of the same stock, subject to the same environment, both justified men, but the contrast in character and career is shown in the result of the respective choices that they made. Amen. Of the same stock, in the same family. And one made a right choice and one made a wrong choice. Are you listening? Are you listening? Amen and amen. The life of Lot is a warning to all of us. It's like a lighthouse that stands out there to warn us of not being shipwrecked. I'm going to tell you, Lot lived in a shipwrecked life. All because he made a bad choice. Here's what he said. I choose to go to Sodom. Hey, I tell you how important a choice. He made a right, he made a wrong choice for just the place that he was going. Are we listening? Better be in the right place. Better be in the right church. You say, oh, well, I just flippantly, well, I think I'll join. And that's wonderful, but it's not a flippant thing to join a church. We ought to make, hey, that's a spiritual choice. To be in the right church. The pastor ought to be at the right church. The people ought to be at the right church. Amen and amen. I found out a long time ago. I never knew this when I got in the ministry. It's not intended for everybody to come to Life Baptist. It's intended for everybody to be saved, but it's not intended for everybody to be in Life Baptist Church. Some people I couldn't pastor. Amen and amen. Amen. Some people you can't pastor. That's just the truth. Amen and amen. If you can't pastor them, you can't help them. Amen. So notice his choice. Notice his choice. Chapter 13, he chose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's read that again. I know everybody knows it. Or pretty much everybody knows it. Chapter 13, verse number 10. The Bible said, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even unto the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And so Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and he journeyed east and separated themselves one from another. So my point is, he made a choice. He grew up around a godly heritage. Amen. His uncle was Abraham. Now Abraham, as great a man as he was, we wouldn't have had Abraham preaching the fellowship. As great a man of faith as he was, we probably wouldn't let him have, hey, that's not my wife. Somebody help me. The great man of faith said, that's not my wife right there. Now, how do you think his wife felt? I tell you, Sarah was greater than Abraham. Yeah. She stayed with him. Yeah. And I ain't trying to make you laugh. I'm just trying to tell you. Can you imagine saying, that's not my wife. Y'all take her. Yeah. Dear God, I wouldn't want to go home for supper that night, friend. Is anybody listening? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, Abraham had his problems. Yeah. Amen. But as a result of his faith, I believe Lot came to know God. Amen. His daddy had died. His granddaddy was died. Now he's with his uncle Abraham. Amen. And Abraham had riches and cattle and silver and gold. Chapter 13, verse 2 said Abraham had riches, cattle, silver, and gold. And so Lot was with his uncle Abraham, and he ended up with pretty much the same thing. The Bible says he what? Chapter 13, verse 5. He said he had flocks, herds, and tents. So he was both of them were very wealthy men. Are you listening? But the difference is, Abraham had riches, cattle, silver, and gold. But hey, cattle, silver, and gold had Lot. Right. Abraham had it, but it had Lot. Right. Nothing wrong with riches. Amen. If you've got riches, but when riches have got you, and that's what this is all about. This is all about, hey, the wealth that was involved. Because the Bible said, because of their wealth, they had strife one with another. Yeah. You know, I had a preacher in Georgia years ago tell me this. Amen. I'd like to experience it, but not for the latter part. He said, preacher, you know, our church was doing great. And something happened. We got a bunch of money. And he said, when we got that bunch of money, it literally about destroyed our church. He said, money come into church, and they started arguing over what we're going to do with the money and tore up the fellowship of the church. Now, I'd like to experience the first part. Anybody listening? But that's a matter. Hey, you know what's got this world? He preached on it this afternoon. The wealth of this world is choking the life out of us. Yes, sir. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm saying it's one thing to have riches, another thing for riches to have you. Amen and amen. Hey, notice their dispute. The Bible said there was strife between them in verse number 7. I'm not going to turn back and forth. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Chapter 13, verse 8 said there was strife. There was a dispute because of it. The devil was winning a victory all because they had material possessions. Are y'all listening? And that's what caused Lot to make the decision that he made. Amen and amen. First time in the Bible, you mentioned here the word brethren. Chapter number 13, verse number 8. He said, we be brethren. and they're before the world arguing. Abraham and Lot and their cohorts, their workers, they're arguing over their cattle and what they've got. They're arguing before the world. And Abraham said, this ought not be. You know what? Let me insert this here. When you got an issue with a brother, Facebook ain't no place to put it. That is going on everywhere, and I ain't even got Facebook. You got odds with this brother, and he's got odds with you. Hey, I'm simply trying to say, that ain't no place to argue with the world looking in. Abraham had more sense than that. Man, fighting in front of the world over issues. Amen and amen. And I got something I want to say right there, but I ain't going to say it. There's dispute. There's discussion. Abraham called for a meeting. He said, we be brothers. He said, hey, Bubba. Hey, son. We be brothers. The things that divide us are not even compared to the things that unite us. Man, we got this. And I know that's going to be. I understand that's going to be. But we don't need to be arguing about silly things before the world. Doctrinal things, I understand. Here's what I get out of that. We be brothers. Hey, what divides us is nothing compared to what unites us. Hey, we were united by the blood. We were united by the book. We were united because we're in the brotherhood. Amen. Is anybody listening? You know what, church? I don't know. I hope you trust. I work at that. I work at trying to get along. I'm not saying you don't, but I work at trying to get along. Sometimes I don't say things I ought to say. I told my wife the other day, sometimes I don't say things I have even a right to say because I want to get along. I can't stand hard. I grew up in fighting and fussing, mom and daddy flushing rings down the commode and cussing, amen. After I got married, me and my wife went down that road till I got saved. I can't stand that. Hey, we don't do that at our house. Yep. Amen. Amen. I wash the dishes the way I want them. I ain't going to fight over it. Somebody help me. We was cutting up chicken the other day. Dear God, we had a meeting coming. We ordered 80 chickens, cut up 9 pieces. 9 times 80. How much is that? 720 pieces of chicken. And they couldn't even come to the meeting. So here we are with 720 pieces of chicken, and I had to call the meeting. No, that ain't counting the other stuff. So my wife said, we got to put the chicken up. I said, how many pieces? She said, 720. I said, do what? She said, besides that, we got to do some more cutting on it. So I went there, and she was cutting with the knife. Amen. You said, well, you ought not be doing that. I'm going to help my wife. I said, but I got a better idea. Let's get an electric knife. She said, electric knife won't do it. I said, Lenore, electric knife will do it. I believe electric knife will do it. She said, electric knife won't do it. I said, cut it up, sis. Hand it to me and I'll put it in the bag. Amen. Is anybody listening? I ain't trying to make y'all laugh. Man, I'm telling you, we ought not be disputing and fussing and fighting. Amen. Hey, there was discussion. Amen. He called them brother. He called them brother. We better separate. If there's strife and we can't get it settled, we better separate. And I think I know the one in this crowd that didn't want to get it settled was Lot. I think Abraham would have been very gentleman, Christian, to let things work out. But Lot wouldn't do that. Has everybody got that? It was a decision. Lot made a choice. It's what we read in our text. He was not strong in his devotions. He didn't have an altar. There's some people you ain't going to deal with because they ain't spiritual enough.
That's right.
Hey, Abraham had an altar. You know why you need an altar? Because the altar altered you. He didn't have an altar. Amen. Lot had an altar. Amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, you better have a place to meet with God. I'm telling you, living this Christian life, that's already been preached. No, not much more need to be said other than you. Some of y'all didn't get to come this evening because you was working. I'm just simply saying, you better have an altar. If you in this Christian life, if you ain't got an altar, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Yeah. And you can't handle it if you don't have an altar. It's all you can do to handle it if you have an altar. Yeah. Amen and amen. I put in my notes, right voices make right choices. You need to hear the right voices to make right choices. I'm telling you, preacher, me and my wife walked out, got in the car today, and sat in the car. My wife looked over me. She said, God answered prayer in that meeting this evening. God gave me and our family what we needed when we come to this meeting. God gave it to us this evening. Are you listening? Man, that's why I come here. I want to hear right voices so I can make right choices. That's the best point I got. If y'all didn't say amen on that, you ain't gonna get nothing no better than that. Amen. Hey, I'm simply saying he wasn't strong in his devotions. He was sensual in his desires. He chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. Hey, probably for religion, for reading verse number 10, it looked like the garden of the Lord. He said, I'm going to be spiritual in this. I'm going to choose that because it looks like the garden of the Lord. But the real reason he said that is because it looked like the land of Egypt. Are you listening? And he had been to Egypt. Guess who he went there with? Abraham. Abraham made that one choice. Everybody knows that. I feel like I'm preaching so simple. Hey, Abraham made that one choice with his nephew and took him down to Egypt out of the will of God. And it's so messed up, Lot, he never got over it. Go ahead and take your children to the wrong place. The world will get a hold of them. And I'm telling you, once the world gets on, you say, well, you can't isolate them. I'm going to do the best I can to keep them out of the world. Yeah. Call me now or call me what you want to. Well, preaching some of the things you believe in, preach, they're crazy. I told our church a while back, I have fought the devil to keep your children out of this world. Amen. Hey, the reason your daughter's still a virgin is because of the preaching you've heard. The reason your son ain't out drunk and running around is because of the preaching that he hears. Amen. Take him and put him in a liberal church. I'm talking about a liberal independent Baptist church. Amen. See what happens. Amen. Oh, God, I feel like preaching. I can't preach, but I feel like preaching. Amen. Amen. I have a religious reason. I'm going down there. It looks like the garden of the Lord. No, really, it looked like the land of Egypt. He had a selfish decision. Amen. He's leaving the friendship and fellowship of Abram to yoke up with a sodomite society. No, that can't be. No, that's not in the Bible. He left the fellowship of Abraham and the friendship of Abraham and the family of Abraham to go to a sodomite society. You said, man, I don't think a Christian can do that. They're doing it every day. Are you listening? Are you listening? I had a friend in my church. Every preacher could get up here and tell these stories. I had a friend in my church years ago. Amen. Used to be in Brother Gene Rouse's church. And they moved down to St. Stephen because of his job. And I am telling them, that lady and her four daughters, they could sing the glory dance. And they didn't even use music. Call that a cappella, right? I don't know either. I thought I used that big word, y'all think. They sang without music. And I am telling you, they could harmonize. They could sing. But I could tell someone right after a period of time, You know, some of the people you sit up with at 12 o'clock at night and you want to go home and go to bed, but you sit there fellowshipping with them because you feel like they need it. Yes. And so we did that over and over and over. And I'm wanting to go home and go to bed. But I feel, man, we need to be here. They need us. And then she got irritated about something I said or something I did. Brother Barry, you want to tell the rest of the story for me? Any of you preachers want to tell the rest of the story for me? He's a preacher. Her husband's a preacher. And man, I'm telling you what, left the church. And now, listen to me, now this is the honest to God truth. Now she's a lesbian. And I got a picture back about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, maybe a year ago. Here's her daughters. Those godly girls sitting in a bar, got liquor bottles all around them, got tattoos all over their arm. And you make the wrong choice. You make the wrong choice. You don't know where it's going, friend. Well, I just think I'll go over here. I'm telling you, better know it's the will of God. You get out of the will of God, it'll start snowballing on you. Amen, amen. Amen. Preacher, I would never dare come to your church and preach like this if I hadn't preached it out of church. Amen. I want to say something so bad, but we're on live streaming, so I better not. I'll just give you a touch. I preached this message in our church. There was a situation in that church looked impossible, and I preached this message. This message turned it around. Amen. And that's about all I need to say about that. Not my preaching, but the Word of God. Amen. Turn it around. I thought it could never. I thought that would never happen. I thought it's over. It's done. They will never make. But I preached this message, and God, turn it around. Amen. 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 Selfish decision. Made a sodomite society. He wanted to go live in a sodomite society and stayed around instead of staying around the separated saints. Amen. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Hey, young people, listen to me. I'm telling you now. You start hanging around with the wrong crowd, they're going to pull you down. It is easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. If I stand on this platform, somebody smaller than me, I don't know if there's anybody in the room that big, but if somebody smaller than me, they can pull me off before I can pull them up. It's easy. You hang around the wrong crowd. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's what Lot did. He left his uncle, who was a spiritual man, and started hanging around with the sodomite society. I want nothing to do with it. The longer I live, the less I want to do with this world. Notice how he was bound. Lot was bound. Lot moved his family to Sodom. He moved his family to Sodom. Are you listening? Lot's children were around sodomites. Lot's wife was around sodomites instead of Sarah. His choice brought him to bondage. Are you listening? He was captured by the world. I don't have time to get in all that preaching. But when he left and went to Sodom, you remember chapter 14, they come down there and conquered Sodom and took Lot off as a prisoner. And over Abraham, God bless Abraham. Abraham got up a few of them Jews, amen, about 318 Jews, and went down there and wiped them out. They've been fighting ever since they've been born. He said, we need a little crowd to go down here and wipe this crowd out. I think it was about five nations, wasn't it? He took 318 men and wiped them out. Sounds like Israel to me. So the first time he delivered Lot, he delivered him with a sword. The second time he delivered Lot, he delivered him with supplication. He went up there and prayed before God sent judgment. And God got Lot out of Sodom. Are y'all listening? Captured by the world. Read your... I stand amazed at this. I scratch my head sometimes of men in the Bible that messed up the way they messed up. I just do. I'm sorry. I don't doubt the Bible. David, a man after God's own heart, he committed a hot-blooded sin. He went after that woman. And then after he went after that woman, he committed a cold-blooded sin. He killed her husband. In the Bible, wrote the Psalms that we sing. David wrote the Psalms that we sing. A murderer and an adulterer wrote the Psalms that we sing. Somebody help me. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Who is that wrote that song? That was David. I'm going to tell you something about young people. I'm an old man now. My race is about ruined. I don't try to tell everybody I'm old because they take advantage of it. My race is about run. But when you deal with them young people about issues today, you better have your head on straight, brother, because they got some questions to make you scratch your head. That's right. Are you listening? Yep. And I want to say some more things right there, but I ain't. I've confronted some things at our church about music. Are you listening to me? Stay with me there. Please don't write me off on this. I ain't taking sides. I'm just trying to scratch my head. They said, well, David wrote that song. Should we not read it? David wrote it. Y'all get this. Are you listening? Anybody listening on that? I think our music ought to stay straight. I think our music, amen. Hey, Elvis Presley sang Amazing Grace. Yeah. I'm on neither side. I'm neutral. I'm a compromiser. Is anybody listening? I'm just telling you, when you deal with young people about issues today, are you listening? You better have your head on straight, because they got some questions. Yes, and make you question yourself. Yeah. I don't mind admitting that. Yeah, are you listening? Hey, Abraham, hey, he had faith, he had forgiveness. He forgave Lot. Lot got in. You know the average, you know what the average, you made your bed, sleep in it. But instead, he gets 318 men and runs down there and starts fighting for him. Thank God for Abraham, even though he didn't know his wife. Abraham lived a separated life. Separation is not isolation, it's insulation. I read this. I don't know who wrote it. Thought it was good. A separated believer is like a live wire. He's insulated to his surroundings. He's in touch with the need on the other end. And what? He has the power on the other end. Amen. I don't want to be so separated from the world I can't reach them. I just want to be insulated and they don't reach me. Amen. You know what the truth of the matter is? Here's the truth of the matter. I heard a preacher say this. I got to say it. I give him credit. It did not come from me. We are to reach the world, but it looks like in our churches the world's reaching us.
That's exactly right.
Somebody's got to preach. Yeah. Brother Buster, somebody's got to preach like you did today. I like the men preach this week. I see Lot's chance. Look at him, rescued by Abraham. Lot seems to be he got rescued by Abraham, seemed to learn nothing. But because when Abraham rescued him, he went right back down there. Are you listening? While Abraham's refusing the offer of the Sodomites, they're offering him money. They're offering him, you know, material gain because he rescued Lot. And so the king of Sodom comes out and makes this offer to Abraham. So he's refusing. Oh, I don't want one thing you got. I don't need one thing the world offers me. I did it for God. Lot's rejoicing with the Sodomites. He's refusing the offer of the Sodomites, and Lot's rejoicing with the Sodomites. Are you listening to me? Hey, mark the progression of his worldliness. And I'm going to hurry, okay? I'm going to hurry. Mark the progression of his getting away from God. He looked towards Sodom. Somebody say, you would have to be crazy to say, looking at it don't hurt me. I've had people say, well, looking don't hurt nobody. Are you looking? The Bible said they looked on the fruit. It was good to the eye.
That's right.
It started in Genesis. Right. David looked.
Yeah.
Right. David, a man after God's own heart, messed up. Made a wrong choice. Solomon. Somebody help me with this. I'm not asking for an answer. I would like to have. Solomon wrote a love book. He wrote the Song of Solomon. He wrote a learning book. He wrote the book of Proverbs. And he wrote a lamentation book. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon was away from God a long time. When did he write them books? I'm asking the question, not audibly from the floor today, but come to me after the service. Was he right with God when he wrote them books, some of them books? He had 1,000 women. Was somewhere in his ministry that he wrote those books? I know what y'all are going to say, and I'm fine. I don't mind being wrong. It seems like to me, I preach through the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything is vain under the sun. Was he right with God then? Bible said, I come to the conclusion of the matter, obey God, keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man. God's going to bring every work in judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Some authors I read said he was out of the will of God then. I don't want to mess up nobody. Are you listening? I believe the Bible is inspired of God. Amen and amen. You ever had some good thing happen while you was out of the will of God? I'm not promoting doing that. It's all the grace of God. Amen and amen. Well, the Bible said he looked. Then the Bible said he pitched. Then the Bible said he dwelt. And then the Bible says he's now sitting at the gate. And everybody in the room knows this. That was a place of position. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He's sitting at the gate. He has a place of influence in Sodom. Moved there and got a place of position. Amen and amen. Is anybody listening? I'm telling you what, church, when you make a wrong decision, Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you don't get it, and sometimes you make, if it's a major decision, you can't correct it. That's just a fact. When you go to make a major, I'm talking to me, when we go to make a major decision, you better know God, because I'm telling you, he made one decision. He chose to move there, and the rest of it's downhill. Amen. Young people, listen to me. There's somebody out there for you. There's somebody, I know you're 21, I know you're an old maid now, but there's somebody out there for you. And then mamas and daddy goes, oh God, I preach this at home. I don't need to preach that here. But let me preach it while I'm here. You're trying to put your little 10-year-old girl together with a little 11-year-old boy. That's a bunch of junk.
It is. Amen.
I'm with you. Amen.
He don't even know how to get the curls out of his hair yet. Do you love Susie? Johnny, do you love Susie? Do you love Johnny? Oh, Lord. Preach, I hope I ain't doing wrong. Man, we try to make it. We let them grow up. Let them live. Let them have a young. They have no cares in life. Now you got them care. Do I love Johnny? Does Johnny love me? Oh, man. I want to give you this, and I'll hurry, and I'll get through. You know what Lot lost when he moved to Sodom? He lost his sensibility. He called them fellows. I'm not going to turn everything if y'all let me. In chapter 19, verse 7, he called them brethren. He said, hey, brothers, y'all don't do so wickedly. He called them a bunch of devils brethren. Now, I'm for them. I'm for them getting saved. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I don't think I've ever met one. I've seen on YouTube a whole group of them that homosexuals said they got saved. Praise God. I wouldn't want to give him a testimony. Gene Rao called me up one day. Is he here? He ain't here. Gene Rao called me up one day, and here's what he did. Here's what he did. He said, the phone rang up here. I said, Brother Willis? He said, this is so-and-so. I'm a missionary to the Sodomite community. I said, yeah. He said, would you let me come by your church and present my ministry that I'm a missionary to the Sodomite society? He said, because I was a Sodomite and I got saved, talking like a woman. I said, well, let me think about that just a minute, man. He said, you mean I'm saved? I'm under the blood. I've been washed from all my sin. Would you let me come by and present that man? I said, I'm glad to God he couldn't see me. I said, well, brother, let me check this out a little bit. And then he said, I said, you are a dirty dog. That's what you are. I won't tell y'all what kind of pastor you got here. He lost his sensitivity. He called them people brethren. I'm glad I didn't think there was no laugh in this message. I am not trying to get you to laugh. I'm telling you the seriousness of this. He lost his sensitivity. He called them brethren. Amen. Hey, notice this. He lost his sensitivity. He lost his sensibility. He lost his sensitivity. He said, and I don't even want to talk about this, but it's in the text. Hey, you can't mess with these men, but you take my daughters. My Lord have mercy. What kind of daddy would do that? The daddies that are letting their kids run with that crowd. Are you listening? Amen and amen. Hey, by the way, they didn't want them girls. They was after men. Lost his sensitivity, lost his sensibility, lost his standing. He lost his testimony and with influence with his family. They mocked him. When he said, we got to get out of here, God's going to send judgment, they laughed and mocked at him. His own family was mocking him. Man, I don't want to lose my testimony. He lost his sons-in-laws. His sons-in-laws, amen. Hey, they perished. He lost his stuff. Chapter 19, verse 24-25. He lost all of his stuff. He lost all everything he accumulated. That's why he went down there to get it. I'm going to tell you what, you get it the wrong way, God will take it away from you. He lost his stuff. He lost his serenity. He said, I fear what God's going to do. He lost his sense. And I don't even want to quote that, but that's in the text of what he did with his daughters. That is in the Bible. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. And I'm trying to balance this out. I know in the Old Testament, they did not possess the Spirit of God. In the New Testament, we possess the Spirit of God. Now, whether you want to make a distinction in that or not, I would like to. God came on them. God didn't indwell them. In the New Testament, we're indwelt. But the Bible said that he had relations with his own daughters. Now, you tell me this. Do you think one decision to go to the wrong place could end up being that bad? I know I'm not preaching to young people. I'm preaching to everybody. I'm preaching to us parents. We got children to raise. Now you got grandchildren. Now you got great-grandchildren. I want there to be a Bible-preaching church in St. Stephen when I'm gone. Amen. It's the only hope that my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren got. There's got to be a Bible-preaching church, Brother Jonathan. Amen. Brother Jonathan, I'm telling you, you're not quite as old as me. I'm telling you, my days is about old. I want to leave a church there that my children and grandchildren can hear the gospel. Amen. And Brother Buster preached it right. That is not getting easier. Things we say today are harder to say than they've ever been.
That's right.
Because people coming out of churches are not looking for this kind of preaching. Amen and amen. Amen. So, he lost all that. Amen. Amen. Probably need to quit right there. You know what I read? I pulled that up this morning. I pulled this up. That particular sin, and that is incest. Do you know in 1975, this is what statistics say, there was one in 1 million. One out of 1 million that was happening. According to what I read, that particular sin, dear God, here we are closing out the meeting and we talk about this. They said it was one in a million. You know how much it is now? 15%. Are you listening? Only 20% of the victims report it. Now, they say it's as high as 15%, but only 20% of the victims report it. Are you listening? 40%, 46% of children who are raped are raped by a relative. Now, you want to kill a meeting? That's where we are in this society. Because it's not as bad as it used to be. Well, I feel like I hit a snag there, but the sin of sodomy is open. It was open here. It was normal. It was permissible. And it was endorsed by the laws of the land.
Yes, sir.
And that's exactly where we are today. And the next administration coming in, no Republican or Democrat, not many of them's going to mess with that, which side they're on. They have so taken over. And we want them saved, and they'll never get saved. It's just like a drunk. If you don't show them they're a sinner, then I love drunks, but I love to see them saved too.
Amen.
But you got to tell them they're wrong.
Right.
Amen and amen.
Yes,
we've had them come to our church. We had a lady come. We had a woman come to our church one day. She was dressed up. She had on a pair of jeans. She had on a blue blazer. She had on a white sports shirt. She had on them shoes. I used to know Weegians. Amen. Where you put the nickel in the, you know what I'm talking about? Penny loafer. She walked in. We had a jolly lady in our church, and we had a handshaking time. And the lady in our church, she's kind of jolly, and she's in heaven now. She bounced around, and she said, "Preacher, I went over to him, and I told him we were so glad to have him." I said, "Sister Catherine, that ain't a him." She said, "What?" I said, "That's a she or shim, whatever you want to." Are you listening? Man, we're in a fix. That was probably 10 years ago. We've had them come to our church. I had some young people coming to our church one time, and I just got up and made a negative comment about them. And dear God, they stormed out of the church. Because society has warped their minds. Would y'all let me preach a few more minutes? It's where we are today, preacher. And preacher, so goes the world. That comes into the church. Because that's the crowd we're reaching.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, I don't want no divorced people in my church. I want all of them I can get.
Amen.
Well, their only hope is us.
Amen.
And by the way, half of society's like that. Hey, what you going to, that's half society knocked off if you don't reach them.
That's right.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. I'm through. Well, almost. Listen, we're living in a world, it will come to your house. They came to his house. These sins today will come to your house and knock down the door. That's how they are. And we're seeing it happen. It ain't going to happen. It's already happening. Amen and amen. Hey, I give you this real little quick outline. It draws all ages. The Bible said old and young. It was displayed openly. They declined to listen. They demonstrated in the street. They demanded their rights. They were deprived of their sight. And they had disrespect for authority. I don't know where I got that from, but it's good. Amen and amen. Here's what happened, and I'm closing. He cared more about his cattle than he did his children. He cared more about his career than his career, not career. Not career, bam, 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 career. Got to be so technical with y'all. Is anybody listening? He cared more about his welfare. I was trying to make it, you know, alliterate it. Career. Than he did his children. How many moms and dads in our church are more interested in their well-being and their career than they are in their children? Amen and amen. Amen. I'm through. Amen. He had more concern for tradition than he did truth. Hey, tradition, they tell me, was when somebody come in your house, you're supposed to protect. I ain't going by no tradition if I got to give up my children. Somebody help me. Now he wants to warn them. But they mocked him. The children know about Sodom, but they don't know about spiritual things. They had a viewpoint of Sodom. Now they're living in the vices of Sodom. The angels got the girls out of Sodom, but they couldn't get Sodom out the girls. Amen. That's what sin does. Here's what they thought. If dad will offer us to them, what's wrong with us and going with dad? I don't even want to talk about it. From history, we learn that rampant sin of perverted sexuality is the last stage before society crumbles. And brother, I don't know how it could get any worse, and it could. But if this next administration, I'm not talking Republican, Democrat, if this next administration goes down, I don't think we've seen anything yet. Are you listening? I'm not looking for Mr. Trump. I'm looking for the Trump.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Imagine when he woke up. They give him liquor. Where'd they get liquor from? Dear God, they're running for their life. Where'd they get liquor from? They made him drunk. They had to get liquor from somewhere. It's always available. Amen and amen. Then there was liquor. Then there was lust. Amen. Here's what I'm saying, church, and I'm through. Don't wake up too late. Do you know the girls named the boys? Lot didn't name the boys. Of course, that's not unusual. The girls named the boy. You know what the elder daughter named the boy? Moab. Do you know what Moab means? I didn't know. I like to look up them words. Moab means from the father. You know what Lo-Ami means? Ben-Ami means? It means son of thy people. She named her children what had happened. That's where we are. Are you listening to me? Please don't misunderstand this. They go out, they commit their sin, then they want to bring it back into church, and everybody's supposed to accept it without saying anything. I just get it where everybody can understand. They go out and get pregnant, and then they want to come to church and ask the church before the whole church to get married. And if you don't do it, then you're not loving and you're not kind.
Right.
Now, I'm for it. That happens to you. Amen. We're going to forgive you. We're going to do all we can to help you, but you ain't getting married in the church.
Amen. Amen.
And I know I'll be misunderstood on that. But I'm telling you, I'm almost 80 years old. Somebody said this, I think it was Brother Buster, Brother Dale, one of y'all. It don't matter no more to me. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic attitude, a biggity attitude. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Amen. But I want to do it right. Amen. Amen. I want to do it. We're helping people, not hurting people. But the world don't look at it. And even the church don't look at it like that. We had a boy in our church years ago. Now listen to what I'm going to say. His granddaddy was his daddy. And we had him in the church. And I'm telling you, brother, he was messed up. Dear God, was he messed up. And so some families in our church would take him in to help him. And then they would get out of hand. So another family in our church would take him in and help him. And he was so messed up in his head. So we sent him to this home to help him. He'd stay there a little while. He'd get out of the home. And sent him to another home. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, his head was so messed up from what he was raised up in. You couldn't help him. So messed up. I got news the other day. He died. 26 years old. With a messed up life. Mom and daddy did that. Ain't this a good closing message? I'm just simply saying, friend, sin will take you further than you ever planned to go. It cost you more than you ever planned to face. You would have never told Lot when I'm going down there to Sodom, you'd have never told him what he'd end up doing. But then I thought about this, and I know this is elementary. I know this. But do you know they had a son named Moab? Do you know who come out of Moab?
Yes, sir.
A woman named Ruth. Here's what I'm trying to say. You ain't going to defeat God.
Amen.
God say, you might think you're winning, but I'm going to pull one on you now. Somebody help me right there. There, God have mercy. He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get a girl out of Moab, and I'm going to hook up with a gentleman. I'm going to hook her up with a boy named Boaz, and they're going to have a son, and he's going to be Obed, and Obed's going to have Jesse, and Jesse's going to have, who?
David.
David. Jesse's going to have David. Thank you. And David's going to have Jesus.
Amen.
You ain't going to stop God. He'll use the wrath of man to praise him.
Amen.
Is anybody listening? Man, I wish I hadn't missed that point. I'd have had a perfect message. Here's what I'm saying. We got a great God.
Amen.
He'll take our mistakes and work miracles. He'll take our vices and bring out victory. Amen. He'll take our sin and glorify the Son of God. He's a great God.
Amen.
If I knew how to sing right now, I'd sing. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Let's stand together and pray. All up in the bandstand, in the grandstand up there. Dear God, look at them in the grandstand. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I hope I said everything right tonight. That's my heart's desire. I want to care about people. I want to reach people. But, Lord, we got to tell them they're wrong before they can get right. So help us. Help us to make right decisions. Help us every decision we make. Lord, that woman said 35,000 a day, from the simplest to the major thing. Help us to make right decisions. Bless this church. Help our churches to make right decisions. God, we need you. Oh, God, we need you. Thank you for this great meeting. God, what preaching. Lord, we ought to lead this place. I know I ought to lead this place. On top of the world, singing the praises of God. Thank you for what preaching can do and singing and fellowship can do. Give you praise for it tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let the Lord help you tonight. Maybe you got a decision to make. You need to come tonight. That's between you and the Lord. Brother Robert, you come if you want.